This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek in the Hill. And we're joined by the author, Brandon Weikert. Brandon is the author of Winning Space, How America Remains a Superpower. We find him on location in the nation's capital, but we take him immediately to the launch facilities of the People's Republic of China, their Space City. And the star of Space City is a booster called Long March 5, A Troubled Past. Recently, however, it is delivered into space. Several payloads, including the new low Earth orbit space station, under construction. And then the booster falls back to Earth, crashing where it will. A very sloppy program, but in any event, lift for low Earth orbit. The question I put to Brandon right away, because he's very sophisticated about Russian capabilities. So let's see if it extends to Chinese capabilities. Brandon, a good evening to you. The ambition, if I understand it now, is to colonize the moon. The South Pole of the moon would be GPS primary beachfront. But the speculation is they'll need a power source. Can't haul those gasoline cylinders all that way. And an atomic energy reactor serves the purpose. But does China now possess the lift to put a nuclear reactor on the surface of the moon? Good evening to you, Brandon.
Good evening, John, and thank you for having me, and hello, Gordon. The short answer is I think they do have that capacity. I know that there's some issue with the Long March 5's return, and that certainly creates a headache. But ultimately, the goal is to get equipment and personnel to strategic parts of the Earth orbit and beyond. And they now, as of last year, have this capability. They've used it repeatedly. They've proven they can do it reliably, put personnel and equipment into orbit. And so the next step naturally is for them, yes, to go to the moon. Chinese leaders talk often about how the moon is akin to the South China Sea. They very much use the term beachhead. That's very much what they want on the moon. They want to be able to lay claim to the real estate on the South Pole of the moon for, as you say, GPS purposes. Also, it gives them the ability to also not only have nuclear reactors, they could also, with the South Pole, they could build out solar collectors as well, and they could use continuous solar radiation for a power source as well. The issue about nuclear reactors that's very concerning is obviously that's dual use, right? I mean, you could say you're putting a nuclear reactor in orbit or on the moon, but you might actually be putting some kind of nuclear weapons capability. This is certainly something that our DC policymakers really need to be thinking about more, is that dual use component. And in terms of this space race, the race to colonize the moon, Mars, and beyond, that in and of itself is a strategic problem we face. And if China is able to get to the moon, or God forbid, Mars first, and get their reactors and get a permanent manned presence there, they will have that almighty first mover advantage. And they could deny America and her allies access to these very important parts of the solar system. And so these are things that we need to be thinking about. And so, yes, they have the capability to get there, Long March 5. It may not come back to Earth very safely, but, you know, the goal right now is to get people and equipment into orbit and beyond, and they're able to do that now.
Gordon, what does the space race mean to Xi Jinping's power, given all of the other aggression he's demonstrated?
First of all, John, it's legitimization. It shows that China is leading the world. And for Xi, that's very important because he's asked the Chinese people to make a lot of sacrifices. So he's got to show accomplishments. The Olympics is one of those accomplishments. And obviously being able to get to the moon first before we do, that would be, again, something that would help him politically.
You have a question for Brandon, Gordon.
Brandon, especially since 2018, Chinese officials have been talking about the moon and Mars as sovereign Chinese territory. In other words, theirs and theirs alone. And they've also been talking about excluding other nations from going there, as you talked about. Do you think that China would be able to develop the capability, if they got to the moon first, to prevent the United States and other countries from getting to the moon?
Yes, and I think it's they talk in China about space dominance. This used to be something that we talked about in America, but we don't talk about it anymore. It's considered passé. It's considered politically incorrect. But China still uses these terms, and it has a very specific meaning. Space power theorists know what this means. It's not just a defensive strategy. It literally means taking the high ground of space and then having the capability to deny access to any other power on Earth from gaining access to space. Yes, they do very much plan on having that capability. Yi Pijian said as much in 2018. Not only did he liken the moon to the South China Sea and Mars to Huangyan Island, which is just off the coast of the Philippines, but he said that if we, China, don't get to space and take it first, another more ambitious power will, and they will deny us access to it. So they're already thinking in China that if they don't take space first before the Americans do, the Americans will inevitably conquer space and deprive the Chinese of access to it. And so they want to get there first, and they want to be able to dictate who gets to come and who doesn't. And by the way, if they are able to get there first and they do start building out space mining capabilities, which is a minimum of a $1 trillion industry, they then can attract other countries to sign on to China's space vision and box the Americans out on a legal and economic basis as well as a military basis. So that's something else to consider. And so the move to put nuclear reactors in orbit on the moon, possibly on Mars, as part of a long-term Chinese manned presence, this is a very big deal, and not enough people are focused on it.
Your remarks, Brandon, suggested to me something I'd not seen before. This is the race for African colonies in the 19th century, remade yes. into low Earth orbit and the moon and Mars. Exactly. The yes. one that gets there first makes the claim, and then we fight about it. Now, yep. the Chinese space program, so far, up to now, it's been imitative. Is it in any fashion new to talk about nuclear power on the moon, or is that also something that they photocopied one afternoon from NASA or from other organizations?
Well, that's a very good point. So nuclear-powered ships, nuclear-powered facilities have been a proposal since the Eisenhower administration. But the idea of putting nuclear reactors in space was killed by JFK, and then succession of American presidents under the auspices of what I think is the very bad Outer Space Treaty of 69. Basically, they feared that it would be considered a weaponization of space. So no American leader and many other international leaders, even the Russians, did not really follow through with their plans of putting nukes in orbit or trying to get nuclear reactors to the moon. But the Chinese don't care about those things. They are a lot like the Americans. You brought up the 19th century. The Chinese are operating a lot like the United States did in the 19th century against the British Empire. They have a leap without looking mentality, and yes, they will imitate as long as they need to, and then they'll start to innovate after they've caught up with their rival through imitation. And China has those mass production capabilities, and they still have a larger, much larger population base than we do. So that gives them some inherent advantages. And if they're able to capture the high ground and get that space mining going, that's a minimum of a $1 trillion economy. Imagine a Chinese monopoly or near monopoly of that space mining industry. They will have untold riches and a lot of power on Earth that they didn't have before.
Brandon, 15 seconds. What's the timeline for a nuclear reactor and a colony in the South Pole of Mars? 20 years?
For Mars, probably 15 years, 10 to 15 years.
What about the moon?
Probably 5 to 8 years.
Brandon Weikert, helping us understand the scale of the new space race. This time it's about China, not Russia. Brandon Weikert is the author of Winning Space, How America Remains a Superpower. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.